Good morning, good afternoon, good hello, hello, Spain, Argentina, Sweden, New Zealand, Australia, China, Turkey. Hello.
Welcome. Hi, Mariana. And especially, hi, Daniel.
Hello. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Danny.
Hey.
Nico, do you want to introduce Daniel?
Danny is a good friend of mine. We known each other through the beautiful art of drama, acting. So we participated in a couple of shows together. And he's a wonderful person and also a great actor. So the topic today is embrace... what was it?
Embrace. Embrace your mistakes. No, embrace.
Embrace what makes you different.
Yeah. And why, Daniel, you wanted to talk about that, embrace?
Well, I think it's something it's especially important for migrants. When you try to compete with something that is the mainstream, especially, and you try to fit in a new place. All of us migrants have done the same. We try to learn the culture, try to fit, try to integrate, try to learn from what is happening locally. And at some point, you find yourself with a handicap. You find yourself that you cannot be who you are with all your capacity. Because you are not from here, you don't have the accents, you don't have the customs that people that live here have, and you feel handicapped. You feel that you are 50% of your capacity, and when you try to achieve things, you realize that you don't achieve it, or you find struggling. Until one day you realize, well, I have things that nobody here has.
So how long in your case took you to realize that, going, okay, fuck, now I embrace who I am?
It took a long time, because as an actor, you can imagine 80% of your work is supposed to be with your language, with your words. And when I came from Spain and I arrived to New Zealand, it was the first time in my life that I had to perform in English. And I found myself at the beginning, oh, shit, I lost my craft. And I struggled, like all of us, we struggle with the language.
But this is the thing, like, it's not just the language. It's like you become like quite self-doubtful about your complete persona, which it happened to me too. It's fucking horrible. Exactly.
So from being the fun guy, the king of the parties, you know, the joker, suddenly you say, oh, I'm a serious person. I don't joke.
Oh, yes. You change your personality, no? It seems like you are two different
persons. It changes your personality, and maybe not. It changes your personality because you try to be like the others.
Yes, that's what happened to me, yeah.
And the thing is, I heard one time that humor is the last thing that you learn of a culture and a language.
But it's true.
You know, humor is something that is so in the subtleties, in the context, in the richness of the language, that you, with your limited knowledge of the language and the culture, you don't get it. And if you are the joker, or in my case, if I was an actor that was, I always was very physical, but also I was really good with the words. I am really sharp with the words. And I found myself, right, I'm not anymore. So I lost myself a little bit in the process. You were asking how long did it take? Probably 2 to 3 years to break the ice and say, I'm going to do it. But I was trying to do it in the local style. And
can you give an example of that?
Yeah. So, for example, I was trying to audition for a play, and they will they will tell me, I don't understand what you say. And then, shit, that's a, it affects you so much, confidence, everything. So in Spain, the way that I will do relationships will be through the theater people, through the art. My friends were people that they were in the comedy, in the theater, people. And then how do you do friends? Yeah. So I tried to learn to have Kiwi accent, and I obviously I failed because I failed because despite of all my efforts, I will never have a natural Kiwi accent that somebody will say, "Wow, you are the best Kiwi accent that I have ever heard." And I got an agent. And the agent told me, embrace your Spanish side. But I didn't want to be the typical Spanish.
Stereotype.
I was in reality judging myself for my Spanicity. And nowadays, I have been living in New Zealand for 9 years. I have improved my English a lot. I can maintain a conversation. I can even do speeches. I can do theater in English. Still, some people will say, you have an accent, but I have forgiven myself. I have accepted myself. So I now embrace it. And the last thing that I have done is even losing the shame of or having the pride of saying, no, I'm going to do it even in my language. And I'm going to make you feel that you want to listen to me.
Exactly. You own it. You own. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
So,
do you think these kind of things are also like with the age? Like, if you came here 20 years old, it would have been a different story, right? Like, because that is really important to your age.
Definitely. You are talking about how hard it is when you have to face this with certain age.
No, I'm saying like of course now, you know, even if you came 10 years ago, you were a sort of more mature than a 20 years old that I arrived to a foreign country.
Right. Like,
you own a little bit more who you are already. So
one day somebody was asking me, what advice would you give to somebody that wants to come to New Zealand, to emigrate to New Zealand? And I was saying that if they will know how hard will be their life in the first 2 years, they will never come.
Yes, sure. That's so fucking true.
But
that's what I say to everybody.
The growth that you have is exponential. And if you dare to try things, it's even more, it's steeper. But it comes with a toll. It's painful. Mm-hmm. It's like having babies.
Yes.
If any woman will know, okay, this is how I'm gonna feel now. I'm gonna feel this pain. They will say, "No way! I'm not gonna get pregnant," right?
But it's funny because, like, even that the woman goes through it, they still have 5 children after that. So
exactly. But if somebody will tell you the pain, you will say, "Oh no, I'm very scared." So,
but it's also, I think, the naivety in general of the human being going like, "I'm going to go to New Zealand," or "I'm going to go to America," and it's almost like this idealistic thing of
you have to be zero in this idea, and
life is not like that ever.
You have to be a little bit unconscious to make certain decisions.
Yes, yeah, so, you have to be.
So you that's how
and the control.
No, exactly. The other thing that I think it's I really relate to what you were saying about embracing, especially with the language, that I remember I used to judge myself a lot because of my accent. And then I started hearing people that were saying to me, "I love your accent.
Yeah.
It's beautiful."
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's like, and maybe the first time I thought, nah, they're just being kind.
Yeah.
But then several people told me that.
Yeah. So for example, imagine I'm going to be 45. I'm making my life very difficult. Being an actor, a foreign actor with a foreign accent and not in the 20s range is very difficult. So I have judged myself, and I have felt so many times I don't have any chance. But when I meet young actors, I'm going to portray the young Kiwi actor, right? They are 25, they are blonde, and they have Kiwi accent.
Kiwi accent.
Yeah. And they say, well, the thing is, if they need a Spanish guy, you don't have any competition. And I have to compete with all these other blondies, 25 actors, you know? So definitely, once you embrace where it makes you different, you realize why Antonio Banderas has been so successful in the US, saying, but this guy didn't know how to speak English. But he went there and said, I'm going to be the guy that's going to be different, but I know that I have a spark. And it is happening to me, not that I am, and I want to be the Antonio Banderas of New Zealand, but I haven't achieved it yet.
You are there, Daniel. Come on.
Yeah, I'm there. But when I reflect about where I'm coming from and where I'm getting, I'm going to share with you a beautiful achievement that I got recently. I did a flamenco show. I brought the poetry of Federico García Lorca to a show where we mixed the poems with the flamenco guitar and the flamenco dance, and we did it in Spanish. And we were part of the Fringe Festival of this year. And I got the award of the Fringe Spirit for my performance.
Oh, wow.
Right? It doesn't pay my bills. I didn't get any money. I got the recognition of my peers saying, you are a fantastic performer in my language.
Yeah.
Right? For me, that's an achievement of life. It's, if I can do this in New Zealand, what else can I do?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's just my personal achievement. And the other thing that I got, the other day I did a speech for an event called Fuck Up Nights, about fucking it up. And when I finished the speech, and I was talking about all the similar things about what you fuck it up with, the way that you try to be who you are not. I finished the speech, and somebody came and said, "You are a great speaker." For me, saying, "Wow." Why am I a great speaker? I don't have the perfect English. I just have something that they don't have. A way to approach that is part of my culture, because I speak with the truth, with my heart.
With passion.
I engage with the audience in a way that Kiwis cannot do.
But at the same time, you've got the experience that they don't have, right?
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and maybe we think that the things that we are lacking are huge because we say, oh, I don't have the accent, so that's terrible. But then maybe in the big scheme of things, that this is this part, and maybe all the rest, that it's being able to do public speaking is like this.
Yeah.
But we tend to think that, no. No, it's not an accent.
But you know, like I could say the same, right? Like I did a speech in Poland like a few years ago, and you go like, why me? What am I going to talk about? And I tell you, like, because you are older and you, well, some people, the people that are awake, you go, the only thing that works is the truth.
Yeah.
Done. And I can go there and wink about how all the achievements I did in my life, who gives a shit? Or yep. I can go and say, I was born here, this happened to me, this got fucked up, da-da-da, and here I am. It's not perfect. I don't know where I'm going, but this is me. And I hope with the speech you learn something, right? Mm. But it's, again, about embracing who you really are. And we are all going to be always different. But if you don't own your differences, you are fucked, because then you are part of the mass. You will have panic attacks in a fucking crowd because you are completely lost. Like, there is heaps of different things that come from not accepting who you are, and also getting excited about being.
Yeah, that's why for me, getting that award is an achievement in life. That probably another actor will say, "Oh well, is what is that? They didn't give you any money. They didn't give you that." Blah blah blah. It's about the expectations of you don't know where I'm coming from. For me, this is the biggest achievement in my life. Yeah. And it's because where I struggled to get there. If you are capable to go higher than me, good on you.
But people, maybe they don't know. Imagine themselves in a similar scenario, like moving to Spain, like having to learn the language, having an accent, do a speech language.
But I think in all this same, it's very important to bring something up, which is, even if you don't get validation from the exterior world, you still need to embrace who you are. It doesn't matter if there's an award or not, if you got the job you wanted, it doesn't matter. Are you happy and content who you are? And if not, fucking change.
Yeah, and that's why I say, nobody's going to give you an award or they're going to congratulate you if you don't believe in yourself and you don't bring what is the best of you. And you have to be the first one to, as I say, in my case, my agent told me the first time, you have to embrace who you are. And I didn't believe it because I thought, nobody's going to want me with this accent. Nobody's want me. With the time, and also because I really believe in what I'm good, I proved myself that I'm good. And then I can show it. And I can show the best of me. And when I show the best of me, whatever it is, the people say, you are the best.
But to be able to get there, this is a thing, because for you, that you are into the acting and theater and stuff, and of course you explore a lot, but some people that I know and some of our listeners, they don't fucking know even who they are. And if they don't stand out, the better. Because they're too shy, they're too fucked up. So that's so what do we say to those people? You know what I mean? Like, it's about first you have to fucking own your own shit.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you won't be able to even be who you are.
Yeah. It's a cliche, but this topic of follow your dreams is not about, nowadays we glorify a lot to be exceptional, to be the best.
Successful.
It's not about success. It's not about this. It's a fake success. Success is not how famous you are, how much money you gain. It's about these things of knowing yourself. And if you are a carpenter and you love carpentry, own it and go for it, because it's what it makes you happy. Yeah. And it makes you a better person.
Paolo, you have been too quiet, and that's when I get worried. What are you ruminating there?
I like the embrace yourself, right? I like the embrace yourself. But I always like to play with intellectual challenges, right? And so I can tell people, embrace yourself, right? Like, you know, embrace yourself, follow what you feel. And then I think, all right, but let's say I'm talking to a psychopath, right?
Yeah.
Should I tell them, embrace yourself?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, why not?
Own it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know many politicians that they are not. They are psychopaths, and they pretend to be good guys.
Oh.
Oh, but that's what being a psychopath is: pretending to be a good guy while being a not a good guy.
Yeah. I'm going to challenge you. So you think that I always prefer that Donald Trump shows up and shows us that he's a psychopath. So we know that he's a psychopath.
Yeah.
But how would he show it?
Well, in his actions, like straight away, you pretty much know, no?
Yeah, he's what he is. He is exactly who he is. He doesn't fake it.
No, he doesn't. Right? That's so true.
Yeah. Mm.
And so, Daniel, like, do you think, like, even at work or I don't know, with your family, so you think you quiet yourself pretty much all the time, or do you struggle in some sort of areas, or do you have a weakness? Or
yeah, so I have a weakness. Obviously, my language has been a weakness. I'm not talking about look at me and see how good I am. I'm talking about my realization. There's a lot of things that I have to do. When I was a teenager and I was winning awards of poetry and being a very good drawer, a very good painter, being the joker in the parties, a friend of my parents told me, well, when you go to university, study engineering. And I said, all right, why? Because you will find a job. And obviously I followed that and I did the big mistake in my life, I'm joking, that is finishing a degree in engineering. But the mistake was that during that time, I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel myself. I was having this imposter syndrome all the time. Mm. Yeah, because I didn't feel as clever as the other. I'm very clever. I'm very good. I have the two brains. I can be an engineer, but I had to work hard. Mm. But the main thing is I never acknowledged that I had the other side. And that other side is more present. Mm. Is more present. And I was judging it because I didn't want to embrace it. Everybody judged it.
I was going to ask you, why didn't you embrace it? Was it because you felt judged
because nobody told me, look, you have a talent. Why don't you embrace your talent and do something with it? Everybody will tell me, oh, you have to do something that is practical, that you can earn money.
It's so true.
Yeah, I belong to the working class, so where we believe that we don't have the possibility to do anything else than being a hard worker. And I believed that anything else was or being lazy or being, being an artist will be a life of perdition. And I didn't believe that I could be an entrepreneur. I didn't believe that I could do things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When I came to New Zealand, I came with that mindset that it was so ingrained. Nowadays, I embrace openly that I am an actor. That is my passion. Yeah. Even in my engineering world. But every time I have to face the look of, really? So what kind of engineer are you that you are an actor? Are you a serious engineer, mm-hmm. or just are you faking it?
Why do we need to classify, no? To put in boxes, like?
Well, because we classify, because we think that things are in boxes, and I don't believe it. And in fact, most of the people are not A or B or black and white. They have so many colors, and some people. And I include myself in that case, I'm in the middle. I can build you a bloody house. I can do maths very well because I am trained into that. And I have the that side of the brain, but the other brain is also competing all the time. So I'm a kind of a psychopath.
Exactly.
What are the voices like?
Yeah. So one of the things that, for example, is very hard for me is that if I don't embrace actively my creative stuff, I become a bad person. Mm. When I'm not creative, I get depressed. Mm. It doesn't pay the bills. It doesn't pay the bills, so I shouldn't be doing it. You know, I shouldn't spend so much time doing that.
But the problem is with that beliefs. Like you said it very clearly. Like in your world, they say the artist will be poor, the life of perdition, blah blah blah, blah, right? Yeah. Then you fucked. Until you don't change that belief, it's not going to happen, right? So, for example, in my case, I was a criminal lawyer until like 26. Then I'm like, I'm going to become a dancer. Everyone said to me, you're going to be poor. You're going to be an artist that is poor. And I was like, nah, not me. Not me. Yeah. I don't know where that came from because my parents were not like that. And then, you know, with my art, I actually did, I don't know, 10 times better than anyone else.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So in fact, recently I have embraced a little bit of neurological programming. To change that part because I realized that there was a part of me I have, you know, when I have been explaining why I didn't choose the artistic part, I have been blaming my parents. But where is the responsibility that I have to hold? I chose and I believed it. And I was wired in a certain way, but we can all change the way that we are wired. So,
but Danny, sorry to interrupt you, but you know what? You are one of the few actors that knows about engineering.
Yes.
So that's a way to embrace it, you know? So you can use both sides in your acting, whereas a regular actor, if it has to think in that way, it's going to go mad because they can't do it. That's embracing the other part as well.
Exactly. It's not about embracing only one part. It's about, this is what I am. So it makes me a very good director
because
I analyze things or it makes me a very good actor also because I approach things with an analytical mind that other actors don't have. So I can explain, for example, I am a physical actor. I have been trained a lot into physical theater, but I can explain in a scientific way. In fact, you know what I used as an introduction for my physical theater workshops?
What?
Quantum physics.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
I explain quantum physics and because it's the way that we can understand why an actor can affect the energy of the audience.
Wow.
It's not magical. It's the energy that we explain in the particles that are happening here, in the particles that the law of attraction explains. As if you are a scientific person, you should understand the quantum, that through the quantum physics, we are connected through energy, even if we are not touching each other.
Yeah,
but you tell that to some two scientific people and they think that you are a spiritualist. But if you explain to an actor, you are giving them a physical explanation that they never understood of why an actor can transmit or can affect the audience and another actors don't transmit anything.
So true. Wow.
Danny, we also discussed a little bit before we started recording about that question that you say that it's quite common to ask that when you meet someone new that it's like, so what do you do for a living? Yes.
Yeah.
And I like what you said. Can you say that again?
Oh, yeah. So my belief is that my profession doesn't define me. I am defined by who I really am. So my personality doesn't pay the bills. My job pays the bills.
So true.
And so you ask me, who are you? I say, I'm an actor. If you ask me, no, but how did you earn your money? I say, okay, I'm going to explain it to you. 70% of my income is coming from engineering. Mm-hmm. And 30% is coming from my acting. and this is not secure, and this is secure. And I am trying to change it, and one day I will earn 100% of money as an actor. Is this what you are asking me?
Perfect.
Yeah.
But I think you know, we have a similar story, because I was a lawyer first and then I became a creative, right? But straight away, when I started to study dance, I saw the benefits of having all that intellectualism, because you approach creativity in a completely different way. Like, oh, okay, for me, that's boring. Why? Because I was an audience before and I got fucking bored. Mm. So then the others wouldn't create choreographies for the normal audience. It will be just for artists. And that's why dance has such a small audience, because everyone gets fucking bored, right? Mm. Me too. But then if you come with the difference of going, nah, what am I going to say? How are we going to say it? How, you know, like, it just, I don't know, maybe as an engineer you did that, as a director, I'm not sure.
Exactly, I did, for example, the first play that I did in New Zealand that I produced, directed, and performed, that it was in Spanish, it was for an international theater festival. They asked me to do it in Spanish, and they asked me to do it in Spanish thinking this is for the Spanish-speaking community, right? Mm. And I said, no, I'm in New Zealand. I want to do that for everybody. They said, no, they're not going to understand in Spanish. So I did a little bit of research, and I told them, when you go to the opera, do you understand German or Italian?
Perfect.
But you enjoyed it, and you follow it. There's something, there's a science there. So I did the research, and I also thought about it a lot. It was with Ari Carmela that Nico, you
Ari Carmela, I went there, yes.
60% of the audience were Spanish speaking, and that 40% were non-Spanish speaking, and they were mesmerized because they didn't expect that they could follow a play and feel connected without understanding the language. And it was not because magically I was doing things. There was a lot of science behind of how do you connect to the audience? How do you emphasize things? Thinking about that analytical way of being creative. Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
That gives me a segue for Pablo. That Pablo, you come more from the science side of things. But I suppose you apply your creativity in different aspects, like when you do research, when you do try different, I don't know, chemicals, or how can you tell us something?
The way I think I apply my creativity, I used to do public speaking a bit, Toastmasters, and so writing speeches, that's a way to apply creativity. And now I think I do it by writing blog posts. I like writing. I realized that about giving speeches, I didn't enjoy so much the giving the speech, but writing the speech.
Mm.
And so, no, so, that's cool. Yeah. So yeah, and then I think what I enjoy doing is writing. Yeah.
Nice. I think we all apply creativity in different aspects.
Well, I think creativity is in everything. A new business is like, people think that creating a business is not creative. Fuck.
Yeah, I think everybody.
You have to
everybody.
Be so creative for resources, for planning, for marketing. Like an entrepreneur is a creator. For sure.
Yeah. There's only one difference. When we talk about creativity, we are not talking about this. Some people are creative and others not. It's about, and I remember an interview with Debbie Bowie saying, you know, as human beings, to have our basic necessities covered, we just need a shelter, a bed, and food, right? He said, I am an aberration, because if I am not creating, if I'm not actively creating, I'm not happy. Mm. So we're talking about different creativities. It's a creativity of, as an art, or a creativity that, of course, any person has to apply a creativity. Every mother has to be creative every day with their children. Mm-hmm. Every father, every engineer, every mechanic, we have to apply creativity. But one thing is the creativity in life. Another one is the creativity in the arts. And in the arts, it's a different thing. I'm going to be a little bit talking against myself, but art per se is not a basic thing, right? If you have to survive, the first thing that you need is food. Yeah, you don't need the art. Art is very important, but art is something that is beyond a necessity. It's something that is a niche. And sometimes can become a problem. That's why many artists they get suicide, because they cannot live of that. They say that to be a good artist, you have to learn to live with the highs and the lows.
But I think it's a good point what you say. But also, artists tend to be quite emotionally immature, some of them, and they don't take responsibility for, I am a human being, I like this art, but fuck, it's not paying the bill, I fucking get a job. Done. Mm. You're not a kid anymore. Like, you know, there's a lot of like artists that they go the drama queen shit, and that's why people tend to not like artists either, because they think they are the center of the universe, and because I'm a dancer, I should be able to earn a living. That's fucking bullshit. Mm. Wake up. Mm. Fucking find a job, then let's see if you are good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm saying in the world of the art, this thing that you are saying is like a sacrilege. But I understand when I have to feed my kids, I will do whatever I need to do. But it's totally true that I'm not a good person if I don't have my art.
I understand.
I'm a better father. I'm a better person when I have that itch satisfied of myself, and I deal with the consequences of having to work, and I work, and being an engineer is in fact is a blessing sometimes, because you know I don't need to do my art to make a living, so I can do whatever I want when I do art. Mm-hmm. I'm not binded by I had to do this.
That's true. Sorry, Pablo, I interrupted you.
No, that's interesting that you mentioned that art is not a necessity, it's not like one of your basic needs, because I've been reading lately about the Kung, which is, they're a hunter-gatherer group in Africa, and they're believed to live the closest as humans were living when we started being humans about, I don't know, 200,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago. And so in the 1950s, just before there was a group in where today is Namibia or Botswana, there was a group, and some people went to study them and see how they lived, because maybe that's how we all lived. All our ancestors used to live about 100,000 years ago. Mm. And they had art, they had music, they had, all the artists usually perform in some ritual. But, you know, I don't remember if they suddenly will start singing or dancing, which they do, but they will definitely do it as part of a ritual. And they've got a dance where people go into trance. So, so yes, it's not the food that they need to eat, but it's part of the basic human life.
It's interesting, no? If you don't, it's kind of, you don't need it, but if you don't have it, you can die, miserable, no?
It's human, because these people have no, you know, they don't live in houses, so they're hunter-gatherers. They just make a fire and they make a little hut behind with sticks and grass. And so, their life is about getting food. So they are living the most basic lifestyle, but in that most basic lifestyle, there is art. So it is part, art is part of being human.
Yes, absolutely. But if you get to a new place, and or this hunger, and you have to choose. Oh, I have to go to hunt or to do art.
You do the dance after you've eaten, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, like what is? Yeah. You're just making a difference between essential and not essential, but it's half essential because.
Yeah, but if it's that's why I was saying, like, it's essential. I mean, you can kind of physically live without it, but then you can't live without it.
Yeah.
You need it.
I personally, I can't live with without my art.
You can't. You need to do something. Yeah, totally.
Just one more question. Daniel, what would you say to someone that is unsure if they are embracing who they really are? If they have doubt, do you mean what do you think they already are not embracing who they are?
I would say if you're not proud of yourself, you are not embracing who you are.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes, but I would also add, like, because some exercise that I think you've done was trying to get rid of all those judgments that you are doing with yourself, and to the point that you kind of reverse it and say, wait, I have an accent, that's an advantage that I have rather than so trying to things rather than being, because I mean, I think we can all judge ourselves, and if we go to that path, we tend to blame ourselves and put into victim mode. When you start saying, wait, I have this, I'm like this, and I'm actually, how do I leverage this on for my benefit rather than seeing something that it's bad. So that's also embracing that difference. You are different, and that's great. Because you're not like everyone else.
But I think that a big key is to be able to embrace who you are or be proud of yourself. You have to start not to give a shit about what others think of you. And that's a big one, because then otherwise you will never know or start to know who you really are if the others matters what they think or say about you or what they suggest. Like what happened to you, you should study something practical. And then you think, fuck, that advice fucked up my life. Why did I listen to that shit? You know? That's the extreme, because when you're young, you do it, but...
But when I was in my 30s, I had the chance. I was working 11 years for a company, for a telecommunications company, and they offered a volunteer redundancy program, and I took it. I present myself volunteer. Mm-hmm. I got enough money to live for 2 years, and still I listened to my mom. When they told me, you are too old now to try. You cannot give up everything that you have already created.
It doesn't matter. It's another lesson. But it's quite good that you bring it up, because there's so many people out there that they still listen to mom and dad.
But this is the interesting thing, is that we are social animals. What other people, like Mariana, you say you don't give a shit about what other people think about you. The problem is that we do. And as much as we would like, we would like not to.
Some people go to the extreme.
Listen to it, like there used to be this joke where someone is driving in their car and listens in the radio. There is one crazy person driving the wrong way, and the person looks around and says, "One person, millions of people are driving the wrong way," right? Because it was themselves driving the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's impossible to be completely ignorant
But I'm not saying completely, like, let's not take it to the extreme again, because right. if you are married to someone and you love them, okay, so you don't want me to travel that much because you think we're going to break up, when then you think about it. But like, the things crucial for your fucking happiness, there is no negotiation. Fuck it. You have to go for what? Look, my parents, from being a criminal lawyer to a dancer, they didn't want me to do that. They were like, fuck it. And I did not give a fuck what they say. I'm like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, well, you had the personality. It's not always.
Of course. I understand. But I understand, like, maybe I'm too strong or too stubborn and stuff, but it is possible. And then not to have that many regrets in your fucking life.
But at the same time, Daniel, did you, because I think, Mariana, you didn't like your life as a lawyer.
Nah.
And Daniel, how about you? Did you not like your life as engineering, or you felt that you could have even more fun as an actor?
I didn't like my life as an engineer. Mm. I thought that I was lazy.
You thought you were lazy if you wouldn't be an engineer?
No. I thought, what is wrong with me?
Oh, why am I feeling like this?
Why am I not ambitious enough to pursue engineering world? Why am I not...
of course.
You know, I put a lot of effort. I am a very hard worker.
Mm.
And still, I felt that... and I could justify as an engineer because I am creative. I can find things to get excited. I am passionate. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I will feel I'm bored. This is not for me. And I will feel it's because I'm lazy, it's because I'm not motivated. It's something that I tried and I tried and I tried until I found myself, no, this is because this is not for me.
But, and that's interesting, because life is about self-discovery.
Yeah.
And some people maybe find exactly what they're supposed to be or what they enjoy since they're 5 years old. Mm. And some people take much longer to find it out.
Yeah, right? But I have been always very envious of some of my artist friends, that they tell me, oh, I grew up with my father. He was a musician. I was involved with rehearsal.
Yeah, pathways already there.
Yeah. My parents, they just had the life that they had. And they taught me things that as an adult, I have to learn to challenge and say, no, life is not like that. As you said, Mariana, I have the same feeling, but I, at some point in my life, I started to do what you say. Fuck it. I'm going to do it. I'm sick of you telling me that it's not possible.
Yeah.
And the reason that I say recently, I started even to work on myself with NLP, it's because it's so ingrained inside.
Oh,
I understand you. Yeah, completely.
For sure. It's many, many years that it's...
But to all of us, we all have something like that.
Beliefs,
I need to reprogram. Like, come on, there's so many wrong beliefs we have.
You remind me of an actor friend that I had in Buenos Aires. And we were part of a group. And it's funny because her parents were both artists and she studied computer engineering.
Awesome.
Like, I was like, what?
But she I came to, that too.
It was the other way around. Like, when you were saying that, like, that it's maybe that, it's that challenging of the parents. I don't know what it was, but she came to our classes and she was a good actress. But I found it quite interesting that she went to the, pretty much, I'm not saying the opposite, right? But it's computer engineering, coding, it's very, very, you know, binary, if you will.
Well, also I have some artists that after they became artists for ages, then they decided to become doctors. Like, hey... Whatever you have to go through, you will.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think this is a good, when I hope that when I am 70 or 80, I will look at my life and I say, shit, I had a lot of life. I did a lot of things, you know, because you have to try, I suppose.
Yeah, of course. You have to try everything. Try everything.
And you know what? When you're 70 or 80, you won't have any regrets except one. Why didn't I have sex with that woman?
No, of course, Pablo had to like Pablo.
It is actually proven, scientifically proven, that men regret.
Oh my fucking God!
In their 80s, that's what they regret.
Oh God!
Well, they say that
nail scientific.
Yeah, but they say that you regret the things that you haven't done, not the things that you have done.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. Why I didn't
sleep with that woman.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, people.
Yeah, I think
on that note.
Yes. On that note. Thank you, Pablo, so much for the deep insight.
Danny, that's always it. I don't know. Time flew. It's like
one hour. Boom.
Yeah. So thank you very much. I don't know if you want to say something else.
Me? Yeah. Oh no! I say enough. I want to say, I hope that one day, when I'm 80, I will remember that somebody told me that my last regret is going to be that I didn't have sex
with that woman. You will remember.
But within all the things you have done, you can say that you were part. Invited to a beautiful ghost podcast.
Yes.
And you had a wonderful time, hopefully.
Yeah, thank you very, very much for having me. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming.
That was great. That was fantastic and gave a lot. I think we all got very excited and very, enthusiastic about the topic.
Yeah.
Engaged. We all engaged and really appreciate it. And we really appreciate the audience listening. And Daniel, if the audience wants to see your acting, what should they do?
They should go to the theater and look for me.
Okay.
They can find me. They can find me on Facebook or in Instagram and follow me, or they can follow my theater company, Babel Theater, that we are. On Facebook,
Sorry, I didn't hear it. What's your company again?
Babel
Theater.
Babel,
okay.
Babel Tower. Okay. I'm also very involved with the Spanish speaking community. So yesterday, for example, we had an open mic in Spanish.
Nice. This is stand up.
Yeah, stand up comedy in Spanish.
How did it go?
Yeah, it went really well. Matias did her first stand up comedy.
Oof. And so scary, man.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy. Wow. Okay.
Scary. And we can put your in the show notes. Yeah. We can put the links to your Facebook.
Definitely.
And the way we say bye is we high five the camera.
Yes.
We say 1, 2, 3 and high five the camera. But you don't need to actually high five it. 1, 2, 3.
2, 3, ciao.
Hope you enjoyed this conversation of beautiful ghosts. We invite you to join our community in our Facebook page. Get in touch if you'd like to talk with us or be a guest in the podcast. To find out when new conversations are being published, subscribe to the YouTube channel or in your favorite podcast app. Our website is beautifulghosts.org. We appreciate your feedback and comments. Have a beautiful week.